Hello and welcome back to the UFO and Aliens podcast. I'm your host, Rick Black. It's been a couple of weeks since I talked to you, and I told you in a message that I was going to bring somebody else on board. We had to get some new equipment and get all set up completely different. I'd like to introduce you to Robert Wiley. Robert, welcome.
Thank you so much, Rick. I'm so excited to be here and be a part of this podcast and really have some really cool, interesting, neat kind of discussions, and hopefully our listeners will enjoy.
Yeah. Charlie's also with us. Hopefully the UPS man doesn't come by. We'll have to edit that out. That's happened a few times. And I was the only one here. So recording this podcast is really kind of weird when you're sitting in a room talking to yourself.
Sure.
So it's kind of nice to have somebody to look across the desk and say, hey, I'm actually talking to you, Robert. All right. So I didn't tell you what this episode was going to be on purpose. I didn't want you to look into it. I wanted this to be organic.
Okay.
So we're going to start off. We're going to get the ball rolling here.
Let's do it.
I'm going to start off by showing you a picture.
Okay.
You can tell me if you've ever seen it before. And can you describe this picture? Here, I'm going to pass it to you.
Okay. Wow. I have not ever seen that picture before.
Okay.
Now, just looking at it, you would think this was something out of a Hollywood movie, that it's a premiere night, correct? But when you dig in a little bit deeper, you kind of see that orb sitting there in the middle with all these spotlights shining on it, which is pretty cool. I would love to know the backstory of this
okay,
photo.
Okay, so can you describe it? What do you see? What's in it?
So you have all these spotlights. I would say there's probably 10, 12 spotlights. With a lot of smaller dots around the spotlights, and right smack in the middle of where those lights intersect, there's a nice orb, or what we may call a UFO.
Yeah,
what some people may call a UFO.
You could. That is a picture that was on the front page of the Los Angeles Times on Thursday, February 26th, 1942.
So it had to have been panic when people see this picture.
Well, this is only a couple of months after Pearl Harbor.
Right.
So a lot of people are saying it's a UFO based on that picture, but there's also a group of people that are saying that those searchlights that were pointing in the air, when they came together, that's what created the illusion of a spacecraft. But you also see the anti-aircraft, what are those called?
The anti-aircraft shells.
Exploding all around it.
Right. So what you're telling me is the military actually fired on what they thought was this object.
Yes.
Okay. So that's the little dots that I was describing earlier.
Right. So this is called, this is actually a very famous UFO case called the Battle of Los Angeles.
Outstanding.
Okay. So this is how it all happened. Okay. I'm just going to start from the top. We all know that on December 7th, 1941, Japan bombed Pearl Harbor in a surprise attack on the U.S., an oversimplification of the reason would be because the embargoes the U.S. put on trade with them. But the reason goes deeper. Then from December 18th to the 24th, I didn't know this. So through my research, I found out a lot about World War II that I didn't know. 9 Japanese submarines were positioned as strategic points along the U.S. West Coast.
What?
They attacked 8 American merchant ships, of which 2 were sunk and 2 were damaged, and 6 seamen were killed. Have you ever heard anything?
I never heard anything about that. It's all Pearl Harbor, right?
No, they actually did a lot more than Pearl Harbor. Did you know that they invaded Alaska?
I had never heard that as well.
Yeah, they did. This was in June of 1942, they went an area around Kiska, and they had about 500 men. It ended up being like close to 5,000 men. The U.S. knew about it because they were bombing the area when they found out. So they were dug in.
That is crazy to think about that, though.
The plans that they had on the invasion of this country, way more than we thought.
How things could have gone so much differently.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing.
So here's another one. They actually fired a deck gun at us. On February 24th, a Japanese submarine surfaced at night and fired its deck gun into the Elwood oil field, which is about 12 miles northwest of Santa Barbara. Caused about $500 worth of damage. but it wasn't much. But they fired on the U.S. in California. So the people in the area, they're on edge. Okay, it's not going to take much.
Understandable, right? Absolutely. A lot has been happening, and now they see this in the sky.
Yeah, so you got the news of the attack on Pearl Harbor, Japanese subs off the coast of California, the bombardment of Elwood. The military and civilians alike were on edge. Then February 25th happens. Something is seen in the sky, and they just panic. And we have a very interesting story. This is 5 years before Roswell, 5 years before pilot Kenneth Arnold saw his flying saucers in the North Pacific, and 3 years before the Battle of the Bulge, and 2 days or 2 years before D-Day, and years before the so-called modern UFO era. During this highly stressed period, a huge round craft was seen hovering over Los Angeles in the middle of the night.
So how many people, I mean, I'm sure the phone lines were going crazy. Does it say how many people were reporting this?
It doesn't. But of course, people automatically assumed that it was an unknown Japanese aircraft.
Understandably, right? All this is going on, and now they see this strange craft, and they think, here we go again.
Well, during the time, you know, they had, the Germans had the blimps, the, what were they called, airships?
Yeah, the...
dirigibles.
Yes.
There's another word for it.
The Zeppelins.
The Zeppelins. Yeah, yep. Zeppelins.
Hey, we'll figure it out.
I don't think Japan had any of those. They definitely wouldn't want to have, they didn't have helium, so they would have had to use hydrogen. And
right.
That's very family. You don't want to be hovering above an enemy in a hydrogen-filled aircraft.
No, that would make a lot of sense.
It'd be easy to shoot down. So this mysterious craft shows up over California, Santa Monica area. It is seen and attacked by dozens of Army anti-aircraft batteries, just firing 2,000 rounds of 12-pound high-explosive shells in full view of hundreds of thousands of residents.
So what did this aircraft do? What did this ship do?
Well, that's the interesting thing. It just sat there. It wasn't affected at all.
So you talked at the beginning that most people thought this was just something that the lights were causing. But it sounds like the story you're telling me may be a different case, right? Because people reported this before they shone all these lights
on them. They did. There was something there. There was something there before the searchlights went up.
So what does Hollywood have to do? Culver City, Santa Monica. I've been to L.A. We talk about all the Hollywood stuff. Could this have been a stunt that they were trying to perform to get some kind of publicity for something?
That's interesting. That's interesting. I'm going to put the kibosh on that here in a second. So they're shooting at this. Boom, 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 boom. Yeah. Everybody's awake.
I mean, that had to have been a sight, right? Can you imagine?
Absolutely.
Late at night.
Pearl Harbor just happened.
Yeah, you hear all this.
Panic mode. You're in panic mode. They had these things called air raid wardens, and they were going around, you know, turn off your lights. They went on a complete blackout. You turn off your lights. And they're walking around with shielded flashlights, just trying to keep everybody as calm as possible. So this is going on. But the craft moves. It moves really slow, but it goes about 20 miles in 30 minutes. And while they're shooting it, it doesn't come down.
Not at all. Mm-mm. Does it appear to take any kind of damage that they can tell?
Not at all.
Okay, now I'm intrigued because obviously this thing takes off at some point in time. So I'm more interested on the story before I can make a verdict. And is this a UFO or is this something else?
Yeah. It's a mystery is what it is.
Yeah.
Okay. So actually, it's got a sad connotation to it. The drama would result in the death of 6 people.
Hmm.
And the remaining shell fragments onto homes, streets, and buildings for miles around. So stuff's fallen out of the sky. The air raid sirens sounded at about 2:25 a.m. Searchlights were probing the sky, and they found the craft about 3:16. Guns started firing. Dozens of gun crews from the Army's 37th Coast Artillery Brigade easily targeted the huge ship that just sat there in the air, not moving. Or trying to evade shells. It wasn't even trying to avoid the shells. It just sat there, clear, dark sky.
This is not a weird weather pattern. It's not a cloud.
Well, you know, if it was a cloud, the next thing I'm about to say might make sense.
Okay.
They didn't find any evidence of this thing.
Wow, that's crazy.
Right. Now, I did have a thought. A lot of UFOs are, people report UFOs and they're explained away as being birds.
Right.
I didn't hear anything about a bunch of dead birds laying around either.
Like, surely our U.S. military are better than stormtroopers and would hit this thing. Right?
All right. But, yeah, they can. Well, I don't know. Birds are kind of small.
That's a big artillery.
In an aircraft up in the air, the birds are going to vamoose.
Right. And you said earlier, it kind of moves slowly, right? It didn't look like it was tracking at a fast speed. Mm-hmm. And birds, you would think, if that was the case, they would get out of there, right? They wouldn't want any part of that.
Absolutely. So probably not birds. It couldn't be a balloon. Well, they did say it could be a weather balloon.
And they missed that too?
Well, hundreds and hundreds of rounds.
Yeah.
Okay, exploding all around this thing. They wouldn't have missed it.
Right.
But they didn't find any evidence of a balloon either. So, what was it?
So, it's truly a mystery.
Absolutely. There is testimony from one air warden.
Right.
Okay, so I'm going to read this testimony from Katie. Where's Katie? February 1942, Katie was a young, beautiful, and highly successful interior decorator and artist who worked with many of Hollywood's most glamorous celebrities and film industries luminaries. She lived on the west side of Los Angeles, not far from Santa Monica. With the outbreak of the war with Japan and the rising fear of a Japanese air attack or even invasion of the West Coast, thousands of residents volunteered for wartime duties on the home front. Katie volunteered to become an air warden and did 12,000 other residents in the sprawling city of Los Angeles. Here's her testimony. In the early morning hours of February 25th, Katie's phone rang. It was the air raid supervisor of her district notifying her of an alert and asking if she had seen anything in the sky very close to her home. She immediately walked to the window and looked up. And this is a quote from her. "It was huge. It was just enormous. And it was practically right over my house. I had never seen anything like it in my life," she said. "It was just hovering there in the sky and hardly moving at all." Now, end quote, with the city blacked out, Katie and hundreds of thousands of others were able to see this spectacular craft moving across the city.
So they were already blacked out prior to this being
to her seeing it.
Gotcha. So it's out there. That's not a cloud. That is...
No, actually, she said that it was a lovely pale orange and about the most beautiful thing she'd ever seen.
Right. We know the sun is down at 2 something in the morning, so there's no reflections. It's right?
Probably not Venus.
It's not, yeah. That's an incredible story, though. I mean, when you think what was going on at that time in America, we probably haven't seen anything like that since 9/11 in our generation. So just imagining back to that, we didn't have internet back then. We didn't have technology. So you're already frightened. You're already scared. You get this call as an air raid warden and you go out and you see something. Your first instinct is going to be, yeah, we're under attack. But it sounds like from the stories and the eyewitness accounts that maybe there's a little bit more to that.
Now, right? The military, they chalk it up to war nerves. Well, this is just war nerves.
Which, I mean, makes sense, right? Because what's going on, you don't want, you're afraid of being attacked by a foreign country. You don't want people panicking about the a UFO or something else that they can't explain. They don't know what it is. So they're going to come out and they're going to try to calm the nerves.
Yeah, well, absolutely. If I wasn't there, mm-hmm. and I wasn't, I would lean toward this is war nerves, especially if I, was experienced in seeing things like that. Pearl Harbor just happened. And I mean, it's like 9/11 happening. And then, we think we're being invaded by, you know, one of those Middle Eastern countries.
Yeah.
We'd panic.
Exactly. Right. Everything. You know, for months after you get on an airplane, you're scanning all around to see who's getting on that airplane with
that's
you and
right.
stuff like that.
That's right. Okay. So if it wasn't the Japanese, what was it?
Sounds like a UFO to me.
All right. You believe it was a UFO?
I do believe it was a UFO.
You're not going to debunk it?
From the evidence that I have right now.
You don't, I didn't let you research this one at all.
No, but I'm just listening to the story. I would say, if I'm watching the Discovery Channel and I hear this story, I'm like, yeah, wow, you can't explain that. And I think sometimes we're too quick to try to explain things, right? Some things just aren't explainable, right?
Well, that's the first thing I do. If I see something, I was in the pool the other day. Actually, it was last summer. And me and my wife were in the pool. And I see a balloon. It's a red, it looks like, I'm not close enough to see if it was a heart shape, mm-hmm. but it was like Mylar balloon. And it was red. It may have been heart shape. And it had a string attached to it. So it was moving kind of funky. And then I watched it go across the sky. And then my attention was somewhere else. And I went to go find it later. And now it had completely moved.
Right.
And when I found it the second time, it was definitely could have been confused for a UFO. Because you couldn't tell it was a balloon. And it was moving kind of funny.
You had distance. You had reflections. You had...
Yeah, it was definitely a UFO at that point, but I already knew what it was, so there it is.
Yeah, it didn't need to be debunked. You already saw that.
Right, but when I see something, my first thought is, you know, not UFO.
Right.
You know, I try to figure out, what is that thing? My mind does not automatically go to UFO.
See, and I had a similar experience, and this was just 3 months ago. We were out at night. It was a warm, nice, you know, Florida evening. And I look in the sky and I see this fiery ball floating in the sky, and it's coming closer and closer and closer to the house. What is that? Now, that wasn't my first thought was a UFO, because as it got closer to the house, what I realized, there must have been a wedding or something somewhere, because it was one of those lanterns that had gone up.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah, paper lantern.
One of those paper lanterns, right. But some people would see that, and it might, you know, and I could see that. I mean, that's... And that's why I think you have to kind of give credence to what people say before you just automatically go, no, 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 it's not.
It depends on who you are.
Right.
I've been reading, I started this a year ago, and I'm reading a lot of reports. Whenever I see somebody from MUFON investigating something, their first thought is, that's a UFO. That is not from this world. I mean, that's where they start.
Right.
It seems like. That's not natural, I don't think. I mean, they've been trained. The MUFON investigators have been trained to, you know, this is going to be our first thought.
Right.
It's a UFO.
Right. Well, it is amazing, though, I think as a society and as people, we are more open to that maybe there are UFOs with all the reports that have been coming out over the last several years with the military and other people in the government and things like that. So it's interesting to see how the tide is turning just a little bit on... Maybe we're not so quick to throw it away, and maybe there are some explanations, but maybe there aren't, and maybe that's okay too. You know, I mean, it's each individual case is its own thing that I think you have to look at all perspectives and all angles.
Absolutely.
Before you just jump to a certain conclusion. Now, I honestly believe, and we've talked about this before, that, you know, I kind of tell you some paranormal stories and things like that. And we talked about this actually earlier today. I said, I believe that people that think they've seen a UFO, I think they've seen a UFO. They truly believe that, you know, in their heart of hearts. And I think each individual case, you know, you just can't throw it to the wind. I think it has to be investigated. And I think that's what's fun about what we're trying to do here is to look at all these different angles of things, to not necessarily say no or yes, but hey, maybe. Right?
Yeah,
like maybe
absolutely.
That is something.
Well, I look at a case. If I can find multiple sources or multiple articles, I find some people that have debunked it, find some, you know, people that truly believe it. And then I just weigh the what I would call facts.
Right.
They're not facts or people's stories. And which one seems more believable? The UFO case where all these kids in Australia and they come out from the school and they all see this UFO. I definitely believe that.
Right.
You can't, you know,
the minds of youth, right? Right.
You know, not with like 300 kids seeing it.
Right.
But if you have like, you know, two guys fishing in Mississippi and they see something and, you know, there's nobody else around and it's outlandish.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not going to buy that.
I mean, it does make you stop and wonder, but then I always try to look into, I love it when they've done these interviews with people, right? And if they have multiple interviews, because you can see, has their story changed any? What's their body language, you know?
That's excellent. You've talked to enough people, and you know, I've been around long enough, I can pick up when somebody's lying to
right.
me. And it's very subtle. Like the police will ask them, you know, if you're accusing somebody of murder, you put them in that room and you make them tell the same story like 50 times.
Right.
And then the police will pick up, oh yeah, he's lying.
Right.
Yeah, they know.
They know those things, yeah.
Yeah. So this story we have, this is a very interesting story.
It really is. And I'm hoping we can get that picture and post it in the notes so you can see this picture if you haven't seen it before. We're technically challenged, but we're going to figure it out, right? And because I don't know how good my describing skills were of it, but it's really this incredible photo, right?
It's a very famous photo. If we can't find out how to post it, you can look it up. It's like Battle of Los Angeles. You'll see it. A couple of pictures in there. I didn't show you all the pictures,
right?
But I think there was really something there.
I do too. Just given the information you gave me, which I knew nothing about this, had not heard about it, saw the picture. I don't think it's reflection of the lights.
First thought was it was war nerves.
Yeah.
You know, somebody saw something, maybe it was there, maybe it was not there, and then everybody just started shooting.
Right.
You got spotlights or searchlights. They call them spotlights, but they're really searchlights.
Searchlights, yeah.
So they're got those going all over the place. You got the sirens. I mean, this is, what, 2 o'clock in the morning?
Right. I mean, that would be absolutely horrifying after everything that the country had already been through.
Yeah. You know, they saw probably video of Pearl Harbor or pictures or
yes.
you know, newspaper articles.
Well, and it's so amazing now, like, we look at that. That was in 1942, correct?
Yep.
Here we are in 2024. Look at how technology is advanced and how much more information we have. So try to go back to that time and think, like, we describe it as being very scary, but it had to be horrifying for people.
Well, you just said if that happened now. Okay, so what if all those people had phones with
right.
cameras on them?
Right, you would have all that evidence, right?
And you got all the different angles in the different times.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. I gave you an assignment.
You did. You did.
I gave you an assignment. I gave Robert a book to read, and that's going to be our topic for next week. So how are you doing on that book?
I did some traveling last weekend, so I was on an airplane for a little bit. I have got to read just a little bit of it. I do have to kind of put my nose to the grindstone this week and finish it out. It's very interesting, very good stuff. I'm a little familiar with this subject, unlike this week.
Oh, did you?
Just because I have seen some things and I've read some things and I've seen some podcasts that this person has been involved
okay.
in.
Okay, because...
And he's a fascinating individual.
I thought for sure you would have heard of this one.
No, I'd never heard of this
one.
I
was shocked that you didn't hear this one.
We didn't talk about any of this. This was kind of the point, right? Just to try to get those discussions open, and hopefully this will continue to kind of grow as we get into the groove of this thing a little
bit. Yeah, I think it's a completely different way to do the podcast. It's a lot more fun.
Yeah.
Well, I think that wraps it up for this case.
Can I do it?
You want to do
please,
it?
Please. I mean,
okay.
It'd be a great thing if you'd let me
okay,
do this on the first show we're together.
All right, go.
Remember, believe none of what you hear and half of what you read. If you like the show, I would encourage you to help support the show. You can help us out with just $3 a month. Go to the website, click on that support button. We would really appreciate the help. We would be happy to give you a shout out. In addition to that, we can send you a beautiful UFO and alien podcast sticker.
And it is beautiful, right?
It is. It's awesome. And it helps with your golf game. We know that from previous experience.
Actually, if you have one in your hand, it drops your score by like 10 strokes.
Exactly. So I would encourage you to get one of those. They're really cool. You can put them on your laptop, the back of your car, window, water bottle, golf. It's all great. If you have a UFO story that you'd like to share, or if there's one you'd want us to look into and discuss, we would love to hear from you. Just send us an email at ufoandalienpodcast@gmail.com.
I'm Rick Black.
And I'm Robert Wiley.
We'll talk to you next time.